something from the Lord. Amen. And I'm going to tell you something. It's an expectation that we need to have every Sunday when we come into his presence. Amen. And so real quickly, just so you know, I got back on Wednesday night around 8 o'clock or something like that. And my daughter and I brought Sky back. Sky, why don't you stand up and wave at everybody? Here's our new youth pastor. Why don't you wave? Everybody say hello to her. And we drove 3,211 miles. Here's the map right there is where we went. From Fresno down to L.A. for a wedding, then over to Surprise, Arizona to stay with my like adopted daughter, Amy. Then I went up to Flagstaff to preach at Pastor Ray's church. I was up there with him. And then, so in that same day, we drove 2 hours up and then another 15 hours to Fort Worth, Dallas. Got in at 4 a.m., then went on to Tennessee, Nashville, and made it home. And here's some pictures. I see what else. Was there any pictures? Yeah, so there was the wedding. There's me speaking at Pastor Ray's church. And then I got some barbecue, you guys. Now I got to tell you a little bit about this barbecue thing. I've been going to that place since 71. So when I was, I'm not even going to tell you. I don't even know how that was. But it was a long time ago. But you guys, I've been on a Daniel fast. I still am. And I asked God to forgive me. I had to break it for a sandwich at HB Barbecue. So anyway, there's me not being struck by lightning. I'm still here. So anyway, this is the final message of week 11 of Building Together. Last week, Pastor Brad brought the message of building together through conflict. Not an easy message to preach. And if you missed it, I encourage you to go back and take a listen because I promise you it will be a blessing to you. Today we're talking about dedicated together. Acts 2:42 is where I want to start, and this is from the Basic Bible Edition. And it says it this way, "And they kept their attention fixed on the apostles' teaching and were united together in the taking of broken bread and in prayer." How many of you guys understand that there is a big difference between being devoted and being dedicated? Okay, I want to talk about that just for a second. Looking at it this way in Acts 2:42, now this is the NIV, it says, "They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer." You see, devotion is a strong feeling of love or loyalty or how we care or how we feel about someone or something. Basically, you can say it this way, that devotion is love and loyalty. Now, let's go back to Acts 2:42. This is coming from the Message. It says it this way, "They committed themselves to the teaching of the apostles, the life together, the common meal, and the prayers." That is a great scripture for home groups. Come on. Dedication, on the other hand, is one's willingness to give a lot of time and energy to something because it is important. You are all in. Everybody say all in. So you're all in. You're 100% committed. That is love and support. So with devotion, it's love and loyalty. With dedication, it's love and support. Let me use it in a sentence. Lori has devoted her entire life to Jesus. And what that's saying is that her love and her loyalty never wavered. Her faith was never in question. Everybody knows that Lori loves Jesus. Now let's say it this way. Lori dedicated her entire life to Christ. That's speaking of her love, her time, and her energy. It was her commitment that made the difference. Everybody knew that Lori lived her life for Jesus. When we are committed, when we are dedicated to what God is doing, he will always keep his desires and purpose in front of you. And that's through your prayer. That's going to be through the reading of your word. It's going to be even through confirmations where people will come up and give you words. It's even going to be in our dreams where he'll call us to action to make a difference. You see, my vision for Harvest has always been, since the day that I came in as pastor, it was that we would make a difference. If we're not showing that we love Jesus, guys, I'm just telling you, we are missing the mark. Let's make a difference in the lives and communities of Chesapeake County. I want to put that into the air. I want the angels to get behind us. I want the Spirit of the Lord to push that through us, that we're not just doing church, but that we're seeing difference, a difference being made in the communities of Chesapeake County. To give any and all, whoever might come through these doors, the opportunity to make a decision, a personal decision, to not only be devoted to the teachings of Jesus, but be dedicated to his calling. Can I get an amen? Amen. So, dedicated to his call. That's faith, people. That's loving God. That's us operating from an activated faith. It's living a fully functional spirit. Man, guys, listen, Lori and I, I spoke at the Ignite the Fire Virginia yesterday. And when it was done, Danette Crawford got up there and said, we're going to do a fire tunnel. Guys, what a fire tunnel is, you ever been to a soccer game where the kids run through and the parents are standing over them like this, you know? Well, it's a fire tunnel, and they had some leaders down there. And so when she said it, sometimes when you say, oh, we're going to have people come walk through a fire tunnel, I don't know, maybe about 30 people will come through. 500 decided to go through the fire tunnel. So we're sitting there praying, and let me tell you something. That was the most impactful, powerful thing that I've ever been a part of in a long time, because I'm watching one life after another looking to activate the Spirit of God in their lives. And that's what we're wanting. We're wanting to live a fully functional, Spirit-filled life, pointing people to Jesus. Dedicated, putting real time into it, giving energy to the call, and making that commitment to serve. There was a syndicated columnist, a writer, she was a believer. Her name was Irma Bombeck, and she wrote this right here. She said, when I stand before God at the end of my life, I would hope that I would not have a single bit of talent left and could say, I used everything you gave me. Isn't that a powerful statement? And then you have C.S. Lewis, who just, you know, writes these things that kind of blows your mind. And he says it this way. The trouble is that relying on God has to begin all over again every day as if nothing had yet been done. And what he's saying there is that yesterday was awesome, right? But today is a new day. Romans 12:1, this is where I want to anchor the rest of this message on. And I want us to read this together. I'm going to give you two translations. The first one is coming out of the Amplified, and this is exactly how it is written. It says this, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies, dedicating all of yourselves, set apart as a living sacrifice, holy and well-pleasing to God, which is your rational, logical, intelligent act of worship. Now in the message, it says it this way, adding verse 2 with it. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you, take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, your eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you. Can I get an amen? And develops well-formed maturity in you. So, fixing your attention on God. Let's look at Acts 2:42 from the TBBE. And it says, and they kept their attention fixed on the apostles' teaching. So I want to talk a little bit about the concept of buying in. Have you ever heard somebody talk about that? About buying in. And what they're doing is, it's when a boss or a coach or a leader needs to see commitment to what the vision is, to what is being said, the direction that they're going. It's called the process. Is there any Philadelphia 76ers fans in here? Any? Oh, one. Wow. Two. Okay, guys, they've been doing this mantra for the past like 5 or 6 years called trust the process. They got this young team together and they were building it up, and it was supposed to win all these championships if they would just trust the process. It's not, they were asking the entire city to just trust the process. Well, guys, it's just not going that well. You know what I mean? And I'm going to tell you why. Because they just haven't fully bought in. There's something that's just not right with the chemistry there. There's something that's not working. You see, when a coach or a leader is asking you to trust the process, they're saying that I need all of you. It's what he or she is trying to do. It's how he or she is trying to do it. And they are trying to convey that you're going to have to pay a price. A price has to be paid. Buying in is huge. It causes you to go beyond devotion to being dedicated at work, dedicated to putting the time in, dedicated to seeing it to completion. And buying in is exactly how it sounds, that you are willing to pay the price, that you are all in. Everybody say that, all in. I have a couple friends. I had to think about this a little bit because I've been in 7 weddings. I haven't been married 7 times, but my wife is one of the weddings that we had. But I've been in 6 other ones of friends. And the thing is that, you know, when I said yes to being in these weddings, I wasn't doing it so I could be in the wedding photos. Guys, I don't like to take wedding photos. Is anybody with me on that? I mean, it just takes a long time. Brides, I'm not trying to discourage you from doing that. It's just that I didn't dig it that much. But I'm doing it because I'm committed to the relationship that God has put together. Is everybody with me? I've told every one of those guys that I was in their weddings, I told them, I said, I'm all in, man. I am team you. I'm team you. You know, I'm telling them that I'm here for you if you ever need me. Well, Clark and Stacy got married back in 1989, and I was in their wedding, and about 6, 7 months, 8 months gone by, and I hadn't heard from them. I'd call them. This is before cell phones and emails, so all I could do is really call their home landline. I'm trying to get in touch with them. I'm calling her mom and dad. I still had their number. I'm calling. I can't get anybody to call me back. So one night, you've got to get a hold of Clark and Stacy. They're in trouble. So I woke up that next morning, and I left this voicemail. And I remember just saying, Stacy, I know you're getting my calls. Call me back. And she finally calls me back, and sure enough, they're in trouble. It's not going good at all. I remember telling my wife, I had to pack up my car. I told her, I'm going away. I went and asked my pastor for permission, and I got in my car, and I went to be with them. And guys, praise God now, years, many years later, over 30 years later, they're still together, and they're still loving Jesus. Amen? But here's the thing is that I was committed. I was all in with them. I want to see God work in them. I was invested. And I am committed to following him, his directions, his words, his leading, and his promises. This is exactly what's going on in the youth group over there. None of these powerful things are going to happen if there's not a commitment or if there's not a buying in, and the youth are seeing that right now. You see, when you have bought in, it shows up in your performance. You start looking at decisions you're making. You start looking at your circle of influence, like, who am I allowing in my life? Who's speaking into me right now? Is this what God wants for me? You start looking at what you're mirroring of Christ to others. You start looking at what is most important in your life. Saying that you are devoted to Jesus is one thing, and it is an awesome thing, but showing that you are dedicated, that there's action. Action, not just words, but you are actively dedicated, shows the true intent of your heart. Guys, back in 89, 90, there was this amazing theologian, and her name was Paula Abdul. Guys, I heard that song for 3 or 4 years straight every day, and she wrote this song called Straight Up, and she here's what she said, speaking of basically of being committed. Straight up, now tell me, so you really want to love me forever. Oh, come on. Don't get shy on me. Or am I caught in a hit and run? Then she says, straight up, now tell me, is it going to be you and me forever? Oh. Or are you just having fun? Little did I know, for those 2 or 3 years, Paula Abdul was teaching me about commitment, about investing. You guys, listen, unless dedication is a part of your everyday life, you're always going to feel like something is missing. The purpose of life grows out of your dedication. Dedication activates God's purposes for your life. It's out of your dedication to Christ that whatever God puts in your hands, you recognize it. You know why it's there and what it's to be used for. Looking at Philippians 3:8, guys, Paul says this, that I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may what? That I may gain Christ. You know, why is it so important that we dedicate this house of worship? You know, God has blessed us with this amazing opportunity to remodel this place and to put new flooring in and paint and a new lobby. And we're going to be doing a youth center and children's center here real soon. But why are we dedicating when we're still not completely done? Guys, listen to this. We dedicate babies and they can only say mama, dada. They're still pooping their pants. And we dedicate them to the Lord. Why? Because it's not about this day, really. It's about what God's going to do with their entire life. Amen? This is a great day to remember, but it's that entire life that we're doing this, you guys. It's where we dedicate the house because it's where the lost will come to find Jesus. It's where we gather all people to worship together. And from this house, we will send those called to go and tell others about Jesus. This place will be a refuge. This place will be a safe place. This place is committed to seeing lives changed, healings, miracles, freedom from addiction, marriages restored, financial stability. Depression has to go in the name of Jesus. That God's word would be proclaimed boldly and not a watered-down message. Man, I can't remember how exactly Dr. Dana or Pastor Dana said. She said, I don't want to come to a, what kind of meal? How did she say it to me? Not a fully cooked or fully prepared meal or something like that. And I get it. Because you want to get what God wants to say, and you want to know that when you walk into the house of the Lord, that he's going to speak to you. Amen? This is going to be a house where we will make disciples for Jesus in this place. So here's my just two thoughts very quickly. We are dedicated so that the world will know that God is most important. We are dedicated so that God, him, he, will be known and be most important. That God is still on the throne. That he's not just in heaven, but that he reigns in our hearts. Back in 2000, I can't remember how many months it was after Ryder was born, we dedicated him. And just so happened that Lori's father, who was a minister, my father, pastor, my grandfather was a pastor, and myself were there. And we were dedicating Ryder. Now, guys, what you have to know is that up until that point, there were people that were coming to Lori and coming to myself, and they were prophesying, you know, over Ryder's life. They were saying things, they were speaking things that this was going to happen and all this, and he's going to have the spirit of this and all. And so when we got up there and it was time to dedicate him, I will never forget this. As soon as Lori's dad began to pray for Ryder, Lori just went, just like in Lion King, go ahead and put the picture up. She just raised him up really high. And I remember I was like kind of shocked that she did it, but boy, she was using all her muscles and everything, and she was just holding Ryder as high as she could. And I'm going to tell you why. It wasn't for the show of it. It was because we were claiming everything that had been spoken and everything that we were believing for his life. Listen, as a father, if I don't want to see things better for Ryder than what I've already experienced in my life, I'm not much of a father. I want him to experience the greater things, even greater than I have seen or that Lori has seen. It's a buying in of this. It's a selling out with him. We as parents have committed all of our kids to God and to his service, and Lori and I have committed our lives to whatever God might ask us. Our commitment to him, believe it or not, is our best witness. Over having a bullhorn on a top of a soapbox, over holding a sign, John 3:16, between a field goal post, there is nothing that testifies Jesus more than your commitment because you're mirroring him to people. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says that the eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully what? Committed to him. This is a good question for our home groups. If you're a home group leader, I want you to write down this question. This is not going to be in the questions on the app. is a question that God gave me. Based on your commitments, what might people assume about you? What do they see in you based on your commitment? This is what we dedicate. This is why we dedicate. It puts his eyes on us. We walk out our faith in his strength. We are fully committed to him. Here's my second thought. We dedicate so that we become exactly what God has created us to be. 2 Timothy 2:21 says it this way, those who make themselves clean from all those evil things will be used for special purposes because they are dedicated and useful to their master, ready to be used for every good deed. Guys, let the scripture penetrate you, just in your mind, in your heart, in your spirit. Let it get in there. Let it resonate because there's a lot of truth in here that it is God who sees that we are invested. It is God who knows that we are ready for the greater things. If you take Acts 2:42, let me just run you through these again. It said that their attention was fixed, that they had devoted themselves, that they had committed themselves. And how about, I got to get this right because earlier this morning I said the KGB, but I meant the KJV. That's terrible timing, I'm telling you right now, man. The good old KJV, King James Version, it says it this way, that they continued steadfastly. Guys, that's not a word that we go around using a lot, but let me tell you what it is. In the Greek, it actually speaks, it's going to come up for you, it actually speaks to be in constant readiness. It's to give an unremitting care and attention to one thing. It actually even goes a little deeper and says that it gives you the courage that you're not going to be unashamed. 2 Timothy 2:21 in the GNT, it says that you're ready to be used. Guys, let me say it this way. Either Jesus is Lord of all in your life or he's not Lord at all in your life. Is Jesus the Lord of your life or is he not Lord at all in your life? Lord of all or not Lord at all? Why should we dedicate the church? Why should we dedicate ourselves? Why should we dedicate our children? So that we will be exactly what God has created us to be. Used for his special purpose. I don't know if you remember that in that translation. It said that you'll be ready so that you'll be used for his special purposes. To love all people. To love the unlovable. To be a house of worship. That this place would be a place of refuge. To make disciples of all nations, to point people to Jesus, to be all in, ready to pay the price, to be who God intends us to be. I want to invite the worship team to come on up. Let's give our worship team a hand. What a great job this morning. And man, I want to thank you guys for your worship. It was very, very powerful. The first crowd, I love our first service, I really do. But this one was a little unusual because I think that I'm not sure if they even knew where they were this morning because of the time change. But it was a little quieter, so I decided not to do something that I really want to try in this service because I believe we're just there. I could feel it in the worship. But guys, in the book of Nehemiah, I don't have time to go through this whole story, but we know that God gives Nehemiah the opportunity to go back home and rebuild the walls, you know, to really start taking care of everything that had been destroyed. But in Nehemiah 12, it's a chapter sometimes we would kind of quickly go by because it's giving you a lot of names and this and these are the people and all this, whatever. But if you really look at some of the nuggets that are in that chapter, it shows that there was purpose behind. There was a buying in that was taking place, and it was going to affect them purifying themselves. They were going to be set up with the Levites. They were going to get their worship in order. They were going to get ready to do Thanksgiving. In fact, in Nehemiah 12:43, it says that the joy of Jerusalem was heard from afar. That's dedicating right there. That's when you're dedicating something and the rest of the county knows something's going on. That's some joy right there. And guys, so they dedicated themselves. They dedicated the walls. They devoted themselves to purity and they sang songs of praise and thanksgiving together. And I want to do three things. The first thing is I want us to commit ourselves to him. I want to do what they did in Nehemiah 12. I think it's important for all of us. that today would be a day that we just purify ourselves before the Lord. You know, I'm going to be really transparent. Let's just be real. Get out of bed. We might have some in here that you can't hardly get out of bed because of depression. You might have some in here that you have a serious porn addiction. You might have a man or a woman that you're thinking about somebody else that is not, that you're not with. It can be a lot of things. It can be you've been lying. You know, Parker got transparent. He's talking about how God had to take him through just lies in his life. Maybe that's something that we're all struggling with. But I just think it's important that we're not just going to dedicate an exterior of this building. I want to dedicate the interior. Amen. This is where Jesus lives. Amen. So let's all stand together. We're going to do this first. Let's all stand together. William's going to begin to play. He's going to set the atmosphere here for us. But I want us to do something very simple. Let's put our hands on our heart. This is where we believe that Jesus is. So Father God, we just want to ask you to forgive us. Father Lord, we want to be purified. We want to go into this dedication just buying in, that we're all in, that we're committed, that we're deeply invested in. Father, there's some things that we need to take care of inside our own vessels. And Lord, I'm just asking you to help us, to lift us above our circumstances or the situations that we find ourselves in. So with every head bowed and eye closed, with your hand on your heart, Father, I pray for these families, these men and women, just single people, Lord, God, that are standing before you, dear God, and I believe they love you. They're here because of you. And so, Lord, with their hand over their heart, we are asking you to purify us. You are the only one that can. Cleanse us of our deepest, darkest secrets, Lord God, that you would deliver us, Lord, and set us onto a good path. I love Jennifer's testimony, Lord, of how you transformed her. God, transform us right where we're standing in the name of Jesus. You guys, repeat this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, I want to be committed. I want to be all in, and I need your help. Forgive me of my sins. Help me to fight back. Keep the enemy at bay so that I can hear your voice. I need you in my life. I need to hear you. I want to serve you. And I'm asking this because you are the only one who can help me. And I ask this in your holy and precious name. Everybody said amen.